بسم الله بسم الله بسم الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما وعملا، وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه. وبعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We continue on our series on أسماء الله الحسنى, the most beautiful names of Allah. And last week we had looked at names that were related to, you know, the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His kindness, His compassion. So we looked at Ar-Ra'uf, Al-Latif, Al-Halim, and Ar-Rafiq. So today we're going to continue with the names, with those same names, along those same lines. And so we move on to three more similar names. And these three names are Al-Wadud, Al-Barr, and Al-Muhsin. Al-Wadud, Al-Barr, and Al-Muhsin. As for Al-Wadud, it has only been mentioned once in the Quran, and that is, or actually twice, it's been mentioned twice in the Quran. The first place is in Surah Hud, where Shu'aib radiallahu anhu, he says to his people, Shu'aib alayhi salam says to his people, وَاسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ ثُمَّ تُوبُوا إِلَيْهِ إِنَّ رَبِّي رَحِيمٌ وَدُودٌ. He said, seek forgiveness from your Lord and repent to him. Surely my Lord, my Rabb is Rahim and Wadud. And the other place that's been mentioned is in Surah Al-Buruj. وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الْوَدُودُ. He, Allah, is Al-Ghafoor and He is Al-Wadud. As for Al-Barr, this name has only been mentioned once in the Quran, and that is in Surah At-Tur. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about the people of Jannah. When they are in Jannah, they will say, Inna kunna min qablu nad'uh, innahu huwa al-barrur rahim. We used to call upon him, we used to make dua to him, to Allah alone, before, meaning in the dunya. Indeed, he truly is the most kind, al-barr, and the most merciful, al-rahim. And as for Al-Muhsin, this name has not been mentioned in the Quran, except in the verb form. It has been mentioned in the verb form. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and this is in the story of Qarun, that arrogant person from Bani Israel. And so he was proud of his wealth and what he had. So his people said to him, وَبِتَغِي فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. Seek the reward of the Akhirah by means of what Allah has granted to you, without forgetting your share of the dunya. وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَحْسِنْ كَمَا أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. And show ihsan to others, just like Allah has shown ihsan to you, just like Allah has done good to you. أَحْسَنَ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ. So this is only in the verb form. And as we know, as we've mentioned several times already, when it comes to the names of Allah, we do not extract them from adjectives or from verbs. So we don't say just because Allah has said here in the verb form that He does good to others, we don't say therefore He is Muhsin. We don't say that this is one of His names. So the names of Allah, as we've mentioned previously, Asma'ullah Tawqifiyyah, the names of Allah are subject to evidence. It has to be mentioned as a name in the Quran or in the Sunnah. So it's not mentioned in the Quran as a name, but it is mentioned in the Sunnah. It is mentioned in a few ahadith. So for example, the hadith of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا حَكَمْتُمْ فَعْدِلُوا وَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُحْسِنٌ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The Prophet ﷺ says, when you are dealing, when you are dealing in people's judgments, and you are trying to figure out a judgment between people who are disputing, فَعَدِيلُ, be just. And when you kill, meaning when you slaughter your animals, أَحْسِنُ, do it in the best way, in the best way and in the kindest way. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مُحْسِن, for indeed Allah is Muhsin and He loves the Muhsineen. And the other hadith that we can mention is the hadith of Shaddad ibn Aws radiallahu anhu. He says, I memorized two things from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مُحْسِنٌ يُحِبُّ الْإِحْسَانِ فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقَتْلِ. وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبح وليحد أحدكم شفرته ثم ليرح ذبيحته. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, indeed Allah is muhsin and he loves ihsan. So when you kill, make sure you do it in the best way. And when you slaughter, do it in the best way, and let one of you to sharpen his knife, meaning before slaughtering the animal, and so that the animal is, you know, slaughtered right away with ease and with little to no pain. But the point here is from this hadith, Inna Allah muhsin. The Prophet ﷺ said that Allah is muhsin. So these three names, what do they mean? Basically, they revolve around the same meanings of the names that we mentioned last week.
So is that also related to the name of Allah, Al-Wadud?
Yes. Mm-hmm. The question is about where Allah says in Surah Maryam, that the believers, those who believe and do righteous good deeds, Allah will make for them wood. And what that means is love. Allah will be loving towards them. It comes from the same name of Allah, Wadud. Wadud. So, Al-Wadud is the one who is the most loving and most affectionate. But he is not only the one who loves, but also the one who is loved. So Allah is the most beloved to us. And so he loves his awliya and his chosen servants, and they love him too. However, here we have to understand that Allah's love for people is conditional. It's not unrestricted. It's not, you know, Allah loves everyone, right? And that's exactly what they say, especially the Christians. They say, oh, you know, God loves everyone. Or even some Muslims, they say this, that Allah loves everyone. And so in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned to us in more than one place, those whom he loves and those whom he does not love. So, for example, Allah says that He loves the mu'mineen, al-muttaqeen, al-sabireen, al-mutawakkileen, al-tawabeen, al-mutatahireen, al-sadiqeen, al-muhsineen, al-muqsiteen. You know, these are the kinds of people Allah loves. And Allah has mentioned it throughout the Quran. Inna Allah yuhib al-sabireen, Allah loves those who are patient. Inna Allaha yuhibbul muqsitin. Allah loves those who are just. And so on and so forth. If Allah loves everyone, why would He say that He loves these people? So obviously, the love of Allah is conditional. And then there are people whom Allah has said He doesn't love. So how can you say that Allah loves everyone? Allah has said explicitly that He does not love al-zalimeen, الكافرين الخائنين المسرفين المختالين المستكبرين. Right? Allah has said explicitly that He does not love the wrongdoers, the disbelievers, those who are treacherous and proud and arrogant. You know, Allah has specifically mentioned that He does not love such people. So the only way to gain the love of Allah is by loving that which Allah loves. If you want to be included among those whom Allah loves, then, you know, do that which Allah loves. And follow His commandments. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. Say to them, O Muhammad, if you love Allah, If you truly love Allah, Allah says, say to them, O Muhammad, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. Meaning, if you truly love Allah, then follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As a result, Allah will love you and He will forgive you your sins. So here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that there's a condition for Allah to love you. Right? And that is that you follow Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As for Al-Barr and Al-Muhsin, these two names of Allah, they mean the one who is most kind and gracious. And Al-Barr comes from Al-Birr. It comes from the word Birr, which means, you know, righteousness. Doing good. And Al-Muhsin comes from Ihsan, which means the same thing. Doing good, or, you know, doing acts of kindness. And so Al-Barr and Al-Muhsin refers to the one who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the source of all kindness and goodness. The one who is constantly showering his creation with all kinds of blessings that have no limit. But here we have to mention that there are two kinds of, you know, ihsan. When it comes to, you know, the word ihsan, or even al-barr, there are two kinds. One is general, Allah's kindness for all of His creation. And that is in the form of Allah creating us and providing for us. And this is for everyone. Allah has done good to everyone. Right? Without any exceptions here. By creating them and constantly providing for them, whether believer or non-believer, whether human or non-human, whether a living creature or, you know, something that has no soul, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly doing good ihsan to them. And then there is the specific meaning, and that is specific for the believers. In the form of guidance and tawfiq to do good, making things easy for us, forgiving us, you know, even His reward in the akhirah for us. This is Him doing good to us. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doing good to us. And so there is the general ihsan of Allah to His creation, and then there is the specific one that is not for everyone, but for those whom He chooses. We move on to the lessons that we learn from these three names. The first lesson that we learn is that Allah is described as loving, right? Allah is described as loving, but His love is restricted, as we mentioned. You know, unlike the Christian belief that God loves all, unlike that belief, Allah loves only those who deserve His love. Only those who deserve His love. And there are those who do not deserve His love. So Allah loves, and then there are those whom Allah dislikes and hates. And we cannot say that Allah does not, you know, hate people. Again, this is something that some Muslims say. Do not say that Allah hates people. Right? Even though Allah says it in the Quran. That He hates certain people and certain actions. And so the love of Allah is attained by loving those whom He loves and doing what He loves. While at the same time hating those whom Allah hates and staying away from what Allah hates. And that in essence is the very meaning of Al-Wala wal-Bara. Al-Wala is, you know, to have allegiance to Allah, His Messenger, and the believers, and everything that Allah loves, while disassociating oneself, disavowing kufr and shirk, and the people of kufr and shirk. Both are mentioned. So in Arabic we have al-hub, right, which means love. And Allah has said He doesn't love certain people. Allah has also said that He hates certain things. And that is the word kariha. So kariha means to dislike, to hate. And Allah has used that to describe Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says regarding the munafiqoon who did not participate in the battle of Tabuk. Allah says, كَرِهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ كَرِهَ اللَّهُ. Allah disliked, He hated for them to go out. You know, to join this army that went to Tabuk. Allah hated it. He didn't want them to go. So He made them to remain behind. And it's mentioned elsewhere as well. It's mentioned elsewhere as well. The point here is that both are attributed to Allah. Not loving and also, you know, hating or disliking. Also, we have displeasure. Displeasure. So Allah is displeased with certain people. So just like Allah is pleased with certain people, He is also displeased with certain people. For that, sakhat. And ghadab as well, yeah. Anger, but that's different. Alright, the second lesson that we learn is that the love of Allah is attained by doing certain things. Again, a lot of Muslims have this, you know, wrong understanding that, oh, Allah loves everyone, Allah loves me, and yet they don't pray, they don't do anything. And they say, Allah loves me, right? You come to them, you tell them, you know, why don't you pray? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? Stay away from this haram, that haram. And they say, you don't know Allah loves me, right? So we say in response to this, that Allah's love is acquired by doing certain things. And that is mentioned in the famous hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, which is in Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَمَا تَقَرَّبَ إِلَيَّ عَبْدِي بِشَيْءٍ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِمَّ افْتَرَدْتُهُ عَلَيْهِ. My servant doesn't come near to me by anything that is more beloved to me than that which I have made obligatory upon him. So if you're not doing the basics of what Allah has made fard upon you, then how can you claim that Allah loves you? وَمَا يَزَالُ عَبْدِي يَتَقَرَّبُ إِلَيَّ بِالنَّوَافِلِ حَتَّى أُحِبَّهِ. And then my servant doesn't continue to get closer to me by anything other than nawafil until I love him. So Allah says here specifically that He loves those who do the fara'id, the bare minimum, and then on top of that, they do the extra good deeds. They do the extra good deeds. And this makes sense. You know, it makes sense that Allah will love such people. Those who don't do just the bare minimum, but they go beyond that. Right? Allah did not make it obligatory on them. Right? Allah did not say you have to get up in the middle of the night and pray. You don't have to fast these odd days of the year. You don't have to give sadaqah. Right? But when you do, then you are sacrificing something for Allah. And as a result, you attain the love of Allah. Yeah, I mean, in the end of the day, it goes back to how much you strive. You know, how much you strive. You know, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَمَعَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. You know, those who strive hard, struggle, Allah will, you know, guide them to the ways. And Allah is with the people who do good, with the muhsineen. And that striving can differ from person to person, depending on personal circumstances. Right? And in the end of the day, Allah will reward based on that. And He doesn't treat everyone equally in terms of acts. But there are several factors that we need to, you know, bring into consideration. It's not just the act itself, but it's a lot of other factors revolving around the act. The next lesson that we learn is that when we learn that Allah gifts and bestows upon us blessing upon blessing, that should develop a love for Allah in our hearts. And that love will then push us and drive us to want to worship Him out of what? Out of gratitude. Right? So when you recognize that Allah is showering blessing and upon blessing, blessing after blessing upon you, automatically, you know, this recognition is going to lead you to love Him. And then that love is going to drive you to worship Him. You know, if someone was to do good to you, if someone was to do a favor to you, you would thank him. And you would develop a certain love for that person in your heart. And then you would want to do something for that person. You know, you would want to return the favor. And so our worship of Allah should not just be because I want the reward, you know, the rewards that Allah has promised. But it should be, before that, it should be because of what Allah has done for us. right? When you recognize what Allah has done for you in your life, you're going to automatically find a love for Him. And then that love is going to turn into a drive to worship Him, to do good deeds for the sake of Allah. The next lesson that we learn, and this is from Allah's name, Al-Barr. Al-Barr. What we learn from this name is that we should strive to adopt this quality of Al-Birr. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. Al-Birr, which is righteousness, is not by turning your faces to the east or the west. Meaning, Allah is saying, you know, just praying is not a sign of birr, righteousness. Al-birr is more than that. And then Allah mentions what it is. And He lists a list of things that is more than just salah, more than just certain ritualistic acts that we perform. Right? Allah says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ وَآتَى الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَى الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. Look at this long list. Allah says, however, al-birr is the one who believes in Allah and the last day and the angels and the book and the prophets, so the pillars of Iman, and the one who gives his wealth even though he cherishes it, he loves it, he gives it to relatives, orphans, the poor, needy travelers, beggars, and for freeing captives. And then al-birr is also establishing salah, giving zakah, and keeping the pledges that one makes. And al-birr is also those who are patient in time of suffering and in adversity and in the heat of the battle. And then Allah says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. They are the ones who are true, and it is they who are the muttaqoon. And the only way for us to truly achieve al-birr, you know, to reach that level of being righteous, is, you know, what's the secret? To sacrifice what Allah loves for us to sacrifice. To sacrifice what Allah loves for us to sacrifice. Something that is dear to us. Something that, you know, is really, really, you know, it's attached to our hearts. We have it. And to give it up for the sake of Allah, this is a sign of birr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will not attain and reach al-birr until you spend of that which you love. Meaning this money that you have in your hands and you love it, you don't want to give it up. And no one does that. No one just goes on the street and says, you know, whoever wants money here, right? Who does that? No one does that. Why? Because they love it. They don't want to give it up. And Allah says, you will not reach al-birr until you spend and give from that which you love. Obviously, in those causes that Allah loves. To give and spend in those causes that are beloved to Allah. And the next lesson is similar to this, but it is from Allah's name, Al-Muhsin. So the importance of us adopting the quality of al-ihsan. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ وَأَحْسِنُوا. And be people of ihsan. For indeed Allah loves the people of ihsan, the muhsinun. And ihsan from us is two kinds. So ihsan from Allah, Allah being al-muhsin, and him showing ihsan means, as we explained, what does it mean? It means Allah doing good to us, right? To his creation. But ihsan from us is two kinds. One is ihsan to Allah, and that is in our ibadah. That is in our ibadah. What is the proof for this? When Jibreel came and asked, what is ihsan, right? And the Prophet ﷺ did not say ihsan means, you know, being kind to others, being good to others. He said, al-ihsan an ta'buda Allah ka'annaka tarah. فَإِلْ لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ فَإِنَّهُ يَرَاكَ. Ihsan is to worship Allah as if you could see him. And if you cannot see him, then he sees you. So the first kind of ihsan from our end is ihsan in the worship of Allah. And that means to perfect our worship, to reach the highest level of perfection in our ibadah. Here we are offering our ibadah to Allah. We want to offer it to him in, you know, the best way. And, you know, that is as defined by the Prophet ﷺ, to worship Allah as if you could see him, meaning to be in a state of consciousness, that as if Allah is in front of you and you're praying. Right? Obviously, we cannot see Allah. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, if you cannot see him, then indeed he sees you. The second kind of ihsan from us is ihsan to the creation of Allah. Ihsan to others. And that is basically doing good to others. Acts of kindness. So that includes helping others, feeding, teaching, guiding, and allowing all kinds of good to reach others. Allowing all kinds of good to reach others. Whether it is material good of the dunya, or whether it is, you know, the good that will reach them in the akhirah. So teaching others, guiding others, right? All of this is part of you doing ihsan to others. You doing ihsan to others. And finally, the last lesson that we'll mention here is that the reward for ihsan is nothing but ihsan. هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. Is there any reward for ihsan, for goodness, except goodness? What does that mean? What it means is that if you live a life of goodness, you know, again, both ihsan with Allah and ihsan with Allah's creation. If you live that kind of ihsan throughout your life, then expect Allah to show you ihsan on the day that you meet him. And so this teaches us an important rule, and that is that Allah will treat you and deal with you in the way that you deserve, and in the way that you treat others, and in the way that you deal with others. You deal with others in a kind way, in kindness and in good, and that is how Allah will treat you. This is a golden rule. This is the sunnah of Allah. that how people behave with others is how Allah will treat them. How you treat others is how Allah will treat you. And so these are some of the lessons that we learn from these three names of Allah, Al-Wadud, Al-Barr, and Al-Muhsin. We move on now from here, we move on to cover the remaining names of Allah that are found in the Quran and in the Sunnah. But from here on, we're just going to be mentioning names that are not related to each other. So as you have noticed, from the beginning, we have been grouping the names that are similar in meaning. But now we have a few left that we'll be going over today and in the coming weeks, inshallah. Many of these are not related to each other. Some of them are, but not all of them. And we cannot sit and just go over one name, right? So we're just going to randomly put them together. So we have four names next. And these are Al-Hayyu, Al-Sittir, Al-Jamil, and Al-Tayyib. Al-Hayy, Al-Sittir, Al-Jamil, and Al-Tayyib. And these four names, have any of these been mentioned in the Quran? Which one? Okay. Tayyib. None of them have been mentioned in the Quran. Okay. As for Al-Hayy, that is different than Al-Hayyu. Yeah. Al-Hayy we already covered. We covered it way in the beginning. Al-Hayy Al-Qayyum. We covered Al-Hayy. Al-Hayy means, the one who is alive from Hayat. That is from Hayat, which means life. This Al-Hayyu, here we have two ya's at the end. So that one is only one ya. Here you have two ya's at the end. Two ya's. And this comes from Al-Hayau, which means modesty. None of these four names have been mentioned in the Quran. None of them. But they have all been mentioned in authentic ahadith. So as for Al-Hayyu, we have it in the hadith of Ya'la ibn Umayyah, radiallahu an, found in Abu Dawood and An-Nasa'i, and it has been authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once he saw a man washing in the public, taking a bath in the public without anything covering himself. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on the minbar and he praised Allah and he said, Inna Allah azza wa jalla hayyun sittirun yuhibbu al-haya'a was-sitr. فَإِذَا اغْتَسَلَ أَحَدُكُمْ فَلْيَسْتَتِرْ The Prophet ﷺ said, Allah is Al-Hayyu and Al-Sittir. So whenever one of you takes a bath, let him cover himself. And we have another hadith, the hadith of Salman radiallahu an, in Abu Dawood and Al-Tirmidhi, also authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani. The Prophet ﷺ says, Inna Rabbakum Hayyun Kareem. Yastahi min abdihi idha rafa'a yadayhi ilayh an yaruddahuma sifra. Your Lord is Hayy and Kareem, and He is ashamed to turn away empty the hands of His servant when He raises them to Him. Meaning, when you make dua and you're sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want to leave you empty-handed when you have turned to Him. As for as-sittir, we mentioned it. It was in that same hadith. Inna Allah Azza wa Jal hayyun sittirun. Allah is hayyun and sittir. And he loves al-haya and he loves as-sitr. As for al-jamil, Allah's name al-jamil, this is in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said one day, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ كَانَ فِي قَلْبِهِ مِثْقَالُ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْرٍ. This famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no one will enter Jannah who has an atom's weight of arrogance or pride in his heart. So a man, he said, what about a person who likes to wear fine clothes and shoes? So the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ جَمِيلٌ يُحِبُّ الْجَمَالِ الْكِبْرُ بَطْرُ الْحَقُّ وَغَمْطِ النَّاسِ. So the Prophet ﷺ explained what arrogance means. He said, Allah is al-jamil, and he loves jamal, beauty. As for arrogance or pride, it is to reject the truth out of self-esteem and despising people. As for al-tayyib, this is also in a hadith in Sahih Muslim, narrated by Abu Huraira radiyallahu an. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is al-tayyib, and he only accepts that which is tayyib, meaning good and pure. So these are four names, as we can see, found in various ahadith. What do these names mean? As for al-hayy, it means that Allah is modest and shy, from haya, but obviously in a manner befitting himself, unlike the modesty and the shyness of human beings. What is the modesty and shyness of human beings? It is a feeling of shame when we're afraid of, you know, being criticized for something that we did. Right? So we do something shameful and we feel shame if someone sees us, for example. As for Allah, this is not what we attribute to Allah. What we attribute to Allah is a haya, a modesty, a shyness, where Allah leaves doing something that does not suit the vastness of His mercy and His generosity. So that is the meaning of Allah being al-hayy, where He leaves doing something because it's not suitable. It doesn't suit the vastness of His mercy. And an example of that is mentioned in the hadith. Right? Not answering the dua of the one who raises his hands to Him. So because Allah is the most merciful and the most generous, He has to give you something. Right? And He's ashamed not to give you something. That is the meaning of it. Right? That is the meaning of it. As for as-sittir, it means the one who conceals or covers or hides. The one who does not expose. So that's the meaning of as-sitr. To conceal, to put a cover over something. And Allah doing this means that He does not expose His believing servants when they sin. And this is from, again, this is also from His mercy and His kindness. Even though we sin and are in need of Allah, while Allah is not in need of our obedience, but yet He is still kind to us and He covers our faults and our, our errors. And he does not quickly punish us, but rather he gives us a chance to repent and to fix our ways. And so he continuously conceals and hides and does not expose our sins. So that is the meaning of Allah being As-Sittir. As for Al-Jamil, from Jamal, beauty, so it means Allah is the beautiful one. And this includes four things, as Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah mentioned. Ibn Qayyim, he says, the beauty of Allah is four levels or four things. With respect to four things. Number one, his very that, his very being and essence is beautiful. Number two, his sifat, his attributes. Number three, his af'al, his actions. And number four, his asma, his names. So all of these are beautiful. He goes on to say, as for the beauty of his that, his very being, it is something that no one can perceive except himself. No one besides him knows it. And whatever we have, you know, whatever information we have is merely definitions that he has shared with those he has honored from his servants. Meaning, the beauty of Allah's very being is something that we cannot perceive. We cannot even come near to imagining. Right? And that is because no one has seen Allah. Right? Very simply put, that is because no one has seen Allah. Does that mean that there is no reality to Allah's being or no beauty to it? No, there is. Right? And this is evidence of it. Allah says He is Jamil. But there's no way for us to even come near to imagining that. Right? Because our imaginations and our minds are finite. Whereas Allah is infinite in every way, with regards to his very that, with regards to his sifat and his names.
So it is with regards to same Allah, right? That's what the question is in regards to.
Mm-hmm.
So do you mean like obviously no one has been able to, or no one would be able to in the dunya?
Yes, in the dunya obviously. No one can see Allah in the dunya. As for al-tayyib, it means the one who is good and pure. So al-tayyib means good and pure. And so Allah is good and pure in all respects, from all angles. And that includes, again, the same thing. Right? Goodness in his very that, his names, his attributes, and his actions. And so this means that Allah is free of all imperfection and defects. Because the opposite of good and pure is bad. And something that is tainted or defected. So because Allah is tayyib, nothing comes from Him except that which is tayyib. And nothing goes back to Him except that which is good. As the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. So because Allah is good, whatever comes from Him is good, and whatever goes back to Him, it has to be good. Meaning, our deeds, our actions. Allah only accepts the good of it. And in order for our good deeds to be accepted by Allah, you know, there are certain criteria for our good deeds to be accepted by Allah. And it goes back to two main criteria. Number one, it has to have been done sincerely for the sake of Allah, not for others, not for any worldly purpose, not for any other human being. And number two, it has to be done in line with what Allah has taught us. So a good deed is that which is defined by Allah. And obviously His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So these are the four names, Al-Hayy, Al-Sittir, Al-Jamil, and Al-Tayyib. We move on to the lessons that we learn from these names. The first lesson is that all of these names, in fact, not just these four names, but all of Allah's names, can never be comprehended or fully perceived. So Allah is Al-Hayy, He is As-Sittir, He is Al-Jamil, He is At-Tayyib, in ways that are befitting to His Majesty. These names and also their attributes have meanings that are understood by us, right? So when you say, for example, you know, what does beauty mean? Everyone knows what that means, right? What does Al-Qadir mean, right? All of these names of Allah have meanings that are known to us, right? You cannot say these are names without meanings that are known to us. No, and I say this because there were people who said this. And until today, there are people who say this, that Allah's names and attributes, they have meanings that are only known to Him, not to us. Right? And they said this in order to flee from a negative implication that they assumed. And that is, they said, if we affirm meanings for Allah's attributes, then it means that, you know, we are basically likening Allah to His creation. So, for example, you know, take Allah's name, Al-Jamil, right? Beauty. They say that Allah cannot be attributed with this. I mean, some deny the attribute altogether, but others say, okay, we'll accept it, but we don't know the meaning. We don't know what this means. Why? Because it means, therefore, Allah has a body. Right? So now He is restricted by time and space. Right? So we refute that by saying, we affirm the meanings, right? These meanings have meanings, but it is the description and the details that can never be comprehended by us. And worse than that is their claim that this was the way of the Salaf. You know, they actually say this. So you have those who change the meanings, you know, what they call ta'wil, and that is the majority of the Asha'ira. But then now you have a group of the Asha'ira who do what is called tafweed, and that is exactly what we've been talking about. Tafweed means that you leave it to Allah. The meanings, you don't do ta'wil. They say, we're not going to do ta'wil. We're not going to, you know, interpret the meanings. We're not going to give metaphorical meanings. But we're just going to say the meanings are not known by us. And that's why Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, he says that this is worse. He says tafweed is worse.
Because you're saying there's no point in mentioning.
Yeah, exactly. Why did Allah mention all of this in the Quran? Why would Allah mention things about Himself to us if they have no meanings that He's trying to convey to us? Right? It's foolishness. Basically, you are attributing to Allah foolishness and doing something without purpose. And so that's why He said it's worse. The second lesson that we learn is that these names should develop a love for Allah in our hearts, for what Allah does for us. For what Allah does for us. What does Allah do for us? He is Al-Hayy. He is Al-Hayy. He has modesty and shyness such that He does not leave our hands empty when we make dua to Him. And he is at-sittir, the one who does not expose our sins. You know, not just these two attributes, but all of Allah's names and attributes. When we learn them, you know, this helps us to develop a love for Allah in our hearts. And so, you know, the whole objective of learning the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to get closer to Allah and to develop a love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third lesson that we learn is that Al-Hayy teaches us to have the quality of Al-Haya. And so this is number one with Allah, in the sense that you don't want to be in a state that is displeasing to Allah. You don't want Allah to see you in an embarrassing state, right? When we do certain things, we don't want other people to see us. But how about Allah, who sees us when no one else is watching us? So having hayat with Allah is basically the feeling of shame when committing a sin. Right? And this is something that only a person of iman can experience. People whose iman is low or weak, they won't feel this. They won't have this hayat with Allah. So number one, to have hayat with Allah. And number two, to have shyness with others, in the sense that you don't want others to see you in a shameful state, which is the kind of haya that is one of the levels of iman. Right? The Prophet ﷺ said that iman is 70 odd branches, or 60 odd branches. A'laha, its highest, is to say la ilaha illallah, wa adnaha imatatil adha anil tariq, to remove something harmful from the path. And then the Prophet concluded the hadith by saying, wal haya'u shu'batun min al-iman. And haya', modesty, is a branch of iman. Right? Why did the Prophet say that? To show how important that branch of iman is. Such that we don't think, oh, it's not a big deal. No, that is from iman. Right? Having haya is a part of iman. And, you know, when it comes to haya, it differs from person to person. And it differs from male to female. There's a certain level of haya that women are supposed to have that men don't have. Right? That is their modesty, their shyness. You know, not just with respect to how they dress, but even in their actions and their words. They're supposed to be at a certain level of haya.
So you mentioned that there is a level of haya, that's when you're doing the sin, you feel shame. But this is just, like, again, on the spirit. So wouldn't, like, feeling shame while committing the sin, but still doing it, wouldn't that be, like, or is it just out of weakness or something? Like, because if you're doing the sin while feeling shame, then continue to do it.
So when a person commits a sin while he's committing the sin, you know, what leads him to commit the sin is, you know, the overwhelming force of the nafs and shaitan. That overwhelming force, basically, what it does is that it makes him to forget about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's because of a state of forgetfulness that we end up indulging in the sin. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said that the one who steals, he has no iman when he is committing the act. And the one who commits zina, he has no iman while he's committing the act. And I believe it was Ibn Abbas who said, it is like a shade a cloud that is removed, and then it comes back after he's done committing the sin. So the shame is felt more afterwards, right? Once the person realizes, you know, what a terrible thing I've done, and he feels that sense of shame. You know, what did I do? Allah was watching me, etc. It's contradictory. I don't know how a person can feel shame of Allah while he's actually indulging in the sin.
Would it be Jabr? Because he sees himself greater than,
he recognizes that he shouldn't be doing this. You know, we're talking about a person of Iman. We're talking about someone who has some Iman. But as we said, there are other factors that are making him to commit that sin. The overwhelming power of the nafs and shaitan in the dunya, etc.
Could it be that knowing what you're doing is like different than what's in your heart? So maybe the heart is not clean, so that's the reason why you would...
There are many reasons. But the point here is that a person of Iman should feel haya' with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But here we should mention that this haya' should not be the kind that prevents you from learning or that prevents you from doing certain acts of ibadah and obeying Allah. Like some people who feel shy, showing that they're Muslim. They're shy of that. They don't want people to know. They don't want people to see. And so that prevents them from, you know, worshipping Allah, or prevents them from learning and asking questions because they're shy. The next lesson is similar to this, but adopting the quality of sitr, to cover and conceal. So Allah is as-sittir, and He loves as-sitr, as Prophet ﷺ said. So what does it mean for us to cover and conceal? Number one, to cover our own faults and our own sins. The Prophet ﷺ said that my entire ummah is forgiven, except for those who openly expose their sins. Al-Mujahirun. And then he gave an example. He said, you know, a man, he commits a sin at night that Allah covered. He did not expose him. And then in the morning he comes and he says to everyone, I committed such and such sin last night, while Allah had kept it a secret. The Prophet ﷺ says, at night Allah had covered it up, but in the morning he tears up the cover provided by Allah himself. He tears up that cover that Allah covered him with. And so we're supposed to hide our own faults, number one. And number two, the faults and the sins of others. The faults and the sins of others. As the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever covers a Muslim, right? مَنْ سَتَرَ مُسْلِمًا سَتَرَهُ اللَّهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ Whoever covers the faults of a Muslim, Allah will cover his faults on the Day of Judgment. Yes, of course. There.
Not talking about yourself, but you're asking. Like, for example, instead of saying I did such and such, you're like, what if someone did such and such?
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking.
Yeah. One should try his best to avoid exposing his own sins. So if you want to ask what is the ruling of something that you did, you don't know, and you want to ask a person of knowledge or a scholar, you don't go and expose yourself, and say, oh, Shaykh, I did this and this. You know, what is the ruling? No, you say, what if someone was to do this? Right? What would be the ruling?
You're saying, I know someone did it, it wouldn't be considered law.
No. The next lesson that we learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala covers and conceals our faults in this life and in the next, and in the next. So Allah being a sitir is not only with respect to the dunya, right? By covering us, we do all kinds of sins, and you know, Allah doesn't allow others to know about it. This is part of Him being a sitir, but also in the akhirah. This is found in the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ says that, you know, Allah will bring us close to Him. He will bring the believer close to Him, right? Very close to Him on the Day of Judgment, and shelter him in a screen. And then He will say, "Did you commit such and such?" He will say, "Yes." "Did you commit such and such sin?" He'll say, "Yes." And so Allah will make him confess all of his sins, and then in the end He will say, "I screened you, I covered your sins in the dunya for you, and today I forgive them for you. Today I forgive them for you." So Allah covers not only in the dunya but also in the akhirah. The next lesson that we learn is that as-sittir teaches us that Allah has been kind enough to us by covering us, but that does not mean that we persist in committing sins. Rather, we should fear that if we were to persist, then there will eventually come a day when Allah will expose us because we did not rectify our ways, we did not turn to Him in repentance. And so this is one of the traps of shaitan, where you know, you commit sins constantly, and you indulge and you continue, and you think nothing's happening to me. Allah is constantly covering me, right? And then you feel that sense of security, not realizing that there will eventually come a day that, you know, where Allah will expose you if you persist and do not turn to Him in repentance. And so we still have time. And we should not be deluded by shaitan.
So when it comes to persisting in sin, does it mean that someone just continues doing it without repenting? Or is it like, because if someone, for example, does a sin, then repents from it, and the same sin repents from it over and over again, that doesn't count as persisting in sin, right?
No, as long as you've repented and then you go back to it, for whatever reason, without intending to go back to it. I mean, that's one of the conditions of an acceptable repentance. But that's not what we're talking about, because that is mentioned in another hadith, right? The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that there is a person who commits a sin and then he repents. And so Allah says, you know, this is a servant who knows that he has a Rabb who forgives. The next lesson that we learn is from Allah's name, Al-Jamil. And this name teaches us that Allah is beautiful, and there is none more beautiful than Allah, but a beauty that cannot be explained, a beauty that can only be witnessed, and which is why the true believers look forward to the day that they will see Allah, and they ask Allah for that. The Prophet ﷺ taught us a dua: "Wa as'aluka ladhata an-nadhari ila wajhika wa shawq ila liqa'ik." O Allah, I ask you for the delight, that joy of looking at your face. وَأَسْأَلُكَ لَذَّةَ النَّظَرِ إِلَىٰ وَجْهِكَ. I ask you for the delight of gazing upon your face. وَالشَّوْقَ إِلَىٰ لِقَائِكَ. And the joy of meeting you. It's part of a longer dua. And so, and so, the believers look forward to that, because there is no greater joy and pleasure than that, right? And that is the extra reward that Allah has mentioned in the Quran. وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. And we have more in store for them. Allah mentions that the believers will have Jannah and, you know, the rewards that they'll have. And then Allah says, وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. And we have more. And that was explained by the Salaf to be looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day. The next lesson, also from Al-Jamil, this name teaches us to keep ourselves clean and beautiful. So إن الله جميل يحب الجمال. Allah is Jameel and He loves beauty. So that is part of our Iman and part of our Islam, that we're not dirty, but rather we keep ourselves tidy and clean and beautiful. But obviously within the limits that Allah and His Messenger have allowed, and not going overboard. Not going overboard, especially for our women, right? They can beautify themselves, but they cannot show that beauty to others. They can only show that beauty to their husbands. And finally, one last lesson that we'll mention is from Allah's name, At-Tayyib. And so this name teaches us that Allah is At-Tayyib, وَلَا يَقْبَلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا, and He only accepts that which is good, that which is طَيِّب. And this includes words and actions and du'as and our sadaqah, everything that we do for Allah, it cannot be tainted with, you know, things that are not going to make it pure. Because if it becomes like that, it's not going to go up to Allah. It's not going to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is good and He only accepts that which is good. Allah is pure and He only accepts that which is pure. And so we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among them. And this is where we'll stop, inshaAllah. And we'll continue next week. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. You had a question? So the question is regarding our good deeds, to make them pure and good, so Allah accepts them, should we do them privately? Yes. In general, we should hide our good deeds because, you know, that makes it more sincere for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning that when you do it in public, in front of others, you know, shaitan comes to you and says, you know, do it in a certain way to impress the people, right? To impress the people. And so once you have that intention, that's it. You know, you're now doing it for other than Allah. You're not doing it sincerely for Allah. So the general rule is that we should try our best to hide our good deeds as much as we can. But then there are certain exceptions. There are certain times when it's actually encouraged to do it publicly. And that is to encourage others. Right? To encourage others. So for example, there's a certain good deed that, you know, many people are not doing. So you want to encourage them to do it. So you do it yourself. Right? You lead by example. Especially when it comes to sadaqah. When we are raising funds. Whether it's for a masjid or any other cause. So when people see you giving, then they're going to also give, and they're going to want to compute, and so on and so forth. So there are exceptions to that. Wallahu a'lam. So this is where we'll stop. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Sorry, ليس البر أن تولوا وجوهكم قبل المشرق والمغرب, right? Mm-hmm.